Mary, call anytime at 800-387-8025. Follow the program on Facebook or Instagram at RM World Travel. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
Where it's 18 minutes after the hour, and this portion of the program is sponsored by American Made with All American Materials, MyPillow.com, guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. You have a son or daughter going off to college, as Robert and Mary do. Perhaps it's a grandchild. How about buying them their own MyPillow, a purchase they'll still be saying thanks for years to come. Think about how grungy those student dorm rooms or apartments can often be. At least you'll know your loved one is sleeping on a clean pillow because they can actually wash and dry their pillow. So whether you have a student going away to college, or maybe you live your life out of a suitcase for work, or you just want to finally get a good night's sleep at home, we want everyone in our audience to experience the difference that MyPillow will make. They come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and right now MyPillow is offering listeners of the show a special buy one, get one free offer. Get the pillow we all have, try them out risk-free, simply by going to MyPillow.com and then enter the promo code Rudy, R-U-D-Y, to get your buy one, get one free special. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Rudy, or find a link at RudyMaxa.com under sponsors. Anne Bancroft is a name you very well may know. She is a famed explorer. She's based in Minnesota, where I'm broadcasting from today. She was the first woman to hike to the North Pole and South Pole, as I said at the show, not all in the same time, but over the years. And she has a cause. She has taken up a cause, and you can see more details, and I'll give you this website link later in the interview as well, but it's yourexpedition.com. It has to do with water and the cleanliness of the world's waters. And in the fall of 2015, she led a group of explorers and educators on a 1,500-mile, 60-day, I don't know if sail is the right word or cruise is the right word, but float down one of the most polluted rivers in the world, India's Ganges River, and also one of the most sacred rivers in the world, according to those folks who live there. I'm delighted to have Anne join me at the show to talk about that expedition and what her future plans are for her effort for clean water for the world. Anne, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Good to be with you, Rudy.
Now, Anne, you know, I had heard about your expedition, but I had no idea it was 2 months long and that you did almost the entire length of the river. What was your transport? How did you do that? I was struggling for the word sail or float or cruise.
Well, float is actually a pretty good one to land on. Actually, we started from the source, so it meant driving up into the Himalayas and then where the road ends and starting to hike. And we went up to a place called Gamukh, very holy place because it is near the very beginning of the Ganges River. And from there, we hiked up to the glacier that, of course, is receding, but nonetheless is the very beginnings of the Ganges River. And we would hike back down until we got into a place where the river could actually handle a boat. We whitewatered for about a week. Pristine water, you know, sort of this blue-green, lovely, clean water. Cold as all get out. Found ourselves swimming in it much by surprise as we dumped. And then we get down to the plains and we get into two zodiacs. And from there, we will navigate a very wide, polluted, braided Ganges all the way down to the Bay of Bengal.
Describe for the listeners what the Ganges represents to a good part of the Indian community.
Well, it's really considered for most of Indian people. I didn't meet one Indian person, regardless of religion or background, that didn't refer to the river as Mother Ganga. So it intersects, you know, the top of India all the way down to the bottom. You know, as you know, India is just, it's so enormous it probably should be a continent. Mm-hmm. And people will come far and wide throughout India to visit the Ganges because it's just considered the heart of India, wherever you are.
And I've seen parts of the Ganges, and it is incredibly polluted. And does the populace seem to understand that? Does it seem to put them off to it? Or is it just part of the way of life, as many Indians accept less than, you know, lush lives, shall I say?
Yeah. You know, one of the privileges we had was starting from tip to tail, so to speak. And visiting lots of different communities, both large and small. Some were very transient farmers that live along the shoreline of the river and then are wiped out during the monsoons, and they come back and they plant their crops and herd their small herds, and then going through very large villages, or I mean cities, excuse me, you know, like Jalalabad or Varanasi or Patna, just millions and millions of people. I think by and large, you know, the older population, my age group, 60 and above, there's many people who believe that the river will continue to purify itself as it did, you know, 100 years ago. But the population, you know, in India is really a tremendous pressure. Economies, you know, as populations grow and economies grow on any body of water, there's an enormous pressure on our use for water. And when there's a single resource like that, it's just not sustainable. So there is movement afoot by the, you know, governments, different bodies of governments along the shores and throughout India, and civic groups, and educators. We had our curriculum in schools all along the river, sort of believing that if people engage through education, both, you know, ways in which students and communities think and manage about their fresh water, practices will change. But this is a complicated country, as you know, Rudy, and, you know, it's very hard to make those changes countrywide when you're talking about billions and billions of people.
But did you feel you opened some eyes?
It's a complicated issue.
Did you feel you opened some eyes?
We know we did. Sometimes, you know this from traveling, sometimes being a foreigner, and we had a group mm-hmm. of eight women from around the world representing each continent, with the exception of Antarctica, our mere presence in some instances was a catalyst for not only the conversation, but also a sense that if we came from so far, they would say, then we should care about the river as well, if you're caring about it. In other instances, you know, we were in schools and in universities, and they are really trying to tackle some of the terrific issues along the way. There's some behavioral changes with industry and farming, but it's a slow-moving vehicle, this you know, element of change. And it is in our country as well. We just don't see it quite as starkly because of the population differences.
You're right. My guest is Anne Bancroft, explorer and currently, or ongoing, I should say, a proponent for clean water. 1.1 billion people in the world don't have access to safe drinking water. It's about 1/6 of the world's population, according to Blue Planet Network. And you'll find some of these stats and interesting facts about water at yourexpedition.com, which is Anne Bancroft's website for her effort to clean up water, not just in India. I mean, you are concerned about, well, you live in Minnesota, and we have the mighty Mississippi or the Big Muddy. I mean, does it need cleaning up?
It sure does. You know, you and I come from Minnesota, and it's pretty healthy, and we live in a state, you know, we're known for our 10,000 lakes and 100,000 rivers and streams, and a pretty good, groundwater health in our state. But when you go down to Louisiana or, you know, places like that, the river changes personality.
It does.
Much like the Ganges. And in fact, next year, we'll be taking our group down the Mississippi to talk about those issues. What we learned on the Ganges is that most people in third world countries believe that the Western world has it all figured out. Mm. And in fact, the U.S., among other places in the world, you know, needs to be fully engaged in this issue. This is not a resource that just replenishes itself, and we are putting pressure on it as well with our industries, with our farming, and with just our insatiable appetite and our growing population. So we're just trying to, you know, open up the conversation, engage people. really to their own personal power.
Let me give you your website again, Anne, before I say goodbye to you. I think it's important. If you want to follow Anne's expeditions or her journeys or learn a little more about water and rivers, perhaps teach your kids or friends about it, take a look at yourexpedition.com, and you'll see not only some details about the India expedition, but, again, broader questions. Anne, good luck to you. I can't wait to hear about your Minnesota experience or Mississippi experience. Nice to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Rudy.
Stick around in just a few minutes. We'll be right back here in Rudy Maxa's World with more travel talk. We're going to find out about this social media stuff that allows places to follow your posts.
Rudy Maxa's World with the Carries. Phone lines are open 24-7 at 800-387-8025. And so is the website at rudymaxa.com. We're back after these messages.